Backseat Box Office episode number 160 for the weekend of October 11th through October 13th, 2013. Hey, this is Lena.
This is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you're listening to Backseat Box Office. Hello, everybody. Hello, boys.
Hello.
And we are, this show is the beginning of, as far as Backseat Box Office, is the beginning of the season 6 movie picking game thing, which really has no name, but that's okay. And we do have a winner. It'll be announced soon. But first, I need to get into how the movies did. How the movies did without having the screen up. Yeah. This is how you start a season, people. Just letting you. Okay. So, coming in at number one was Gravity, that grossed $55.8 million. Dropping to number two is Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, that grossed $21 million. Opening in number three was Runner Runner, grossing $7.7 million. Number four was Prisoners, grossing $5.7 million. And number five was Rush, grossing $4.5 million. There's a few others I'm going to mention. Some of them I hate that I have to mention them, but... we have Don John came in sixth, Baggage Claim in seventh. The other two embarrassing choices I will mention when I get to them. I don't want to spoil the fun. And on to how people picked. These are the last picks of season 5. And we'll get into the winner afterwards. We have two 25s, the Beastesses. Yay, Father Beast and Mrs. Beast. They got all 5 right, Gravity, Cloudy, With a Chance of Meatballs 2, Runner, Runner, Prisoners, and Rush. And we have a lovely handful of 23s having similar picks. Jeff and Scuba Dave. So, Jeff, why don't you tell everybody how the two of you picked?
I believe I had Gravity at 1, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 at 2, and then I had Prisoners 3 and Runner Runner 4, and I think I lost a point each on those. Mm-hmm. And I believe that I had Don John at 5 and came in at 6, and that's another point, so that will give me a...
I had you with Rush at 5.
Really? I'll take it.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter.
Yeah, that's what I'm sharing on the Backseat Producers page.
You know what? The week before, you had Don John in 5th. But, I had you with Rush.
Interesting.
Hey, it stays. I'm okay.
It's
executive decision. You're welcome.
No, I have this notebook that's on my desk that I have like every pick for like the last 20 podcasts.
Yeah, where's my let me see if I can find my paper. You do have Don John?
It says Don John written down. No, it's fine. We'll go to Rush.
For whatever reason, I wrote down Rush immediately, like when you said it, for some odd reason, but meh. It's not really going to change anything.
No. Right. Yeah.
Next up, also with 23s, BD and Kugron. They had Gravity, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, and Runner Runner correct in the first 3 slots. They had Rush in 4th instead of 5th, Prisoners in 5th instead of 4th, each with a 1-point loss. Next up, Art, you had a 20, so tell everybody how that happened.
Well, first off, I flip-flopped Gravity and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, putting Cloudy on top and Gravity on the bottom, and that cost me 3 points. I had Runner Runner in the right spot, and then I flip-flopped Prisoners and Rush, costing me another 2 points.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
Still a buttload better than I did. I had one movie wrong. When I get a movie wrong, damn it, I get a movie wrong. I had Gravity, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, and Runner Runner correct in the first 3 slots. I had Rush correct at 5, and for some odd kind of loyalty thing, and I don't really understand it, I put Metallica in fourth. That came in 16th, so that was a lovely fat 12-point loss, leaving me with a 13. But not to be outdone, Nick. Nick has a voicemail, so let's listen to that.
Hi, this is Nick, and these are my picks for the week. Number one, I'm going with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. I don't want to say two because then it'll leave me a number two. Two, Gravity. Three, Runner Runner. Four, Battle of the Year. Five, Don John. Thanks, gang. Have a great week.
Thank you, Nick. Okay. Whereas I had one movie wrong, he had one movie right, but I love you. He had Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs in first, which gave him a 2-point loss. He had Gravity in second, a 1-point loss. He had Runner Runner correct in third. He had Battle of the Year in fourth, and that ended up coming in 18th, so that was a 14-point hit. And he had Don John in fifth, and that came in sixth. That gave him 7 points for the week. And now we are going to go over the final leaderboard for season five. We have a winner. It was extremely close, let me tell you. BD, congratulations, my love. He won with 22.08 points. In second was Cougaron with an even 22 points. It was frightfully close, I tell you. Jeff, congratulations. You came in third with 21.7 points. Father Beast in fourth with 20.1 points. Mrs. Beast leapt up a few slots and ended the season in fifth place with 18.84 points. Art, you came in sixth with 18.78 points. That's how close that was. Nick ended the season in seventh with 18.4 points. Tad in eighth with 18.3. I finished the season in a gloriously sad ninth place with 17.7 points. And lovely Scuba Dave finished the season with 16.3 points. So everybody, thank you for playing Season 5, and I hope you will all continue to play Season 6, and wrangle, cajole, force, bribe, do whatever you have to do to get more people to play our game, damn you all. And no, I'm not done, because I know we have Art House Picks. Art's House Picks. Let's see. Jeff and Art had the highest pick with ACOD. That averaged $6,334 theater. I had the next highest, which was not very high, with Argento's Dracula 3D. That averaged $514. And Father Beast had Bad Milo. That averaged $409. And the winner for that game is Jeff. Yay! $407,998. I came in second with $390,903. Art in third with 310,932, and Father Beast in fourth with 79,393. And I know we were going to change the scoring with this next year. Were we just going to do like a – what was we were going to do? Just a 1 point for
– make the picks.
Huh?
And when we get into the picks section, we'll talk about the changes for the art.
Look at you, look at you just taking charge. I'm Jeff. I'm taking charge.
Okay. Or if you want to talk about it now, we can talk about it now.
Nah, that's fine. I have zero structure tonight.
Oh, okay.
So, gentlemen, how many movies do we have coming out this week? And
two.
Yes, we have two. Which one do you want, Art?
I'll take Captain Phillips.
Okay. Why don't you do that one first, then?
Then I will. Captain Phillips, 90% on the tomato meter, 51 reviews, 46 fresh, 5 rotten. 97% want to see it out of 22,907 user ratings. Captain Phillips is director Paul Greengrass's multi-layered examination of the 2009 hijacking of the U.S. container ship Maersk Alabama by a crew of Somali pirates. It is through Greengrass's distinctive lens simultaneously a pulse-pounding thriller and a complex portrait of the myriad effects of globalization. The film focuses on the relationship between the Alabama's commanding officer, Captain Richard Phillips, two-time Academy Award winner Tom Hanks, and his Somali counterpart, Muse Barkhad Abdi. Set on an incontrovertible collision course off the coast of Somalia, both men will find themselves paying the human toll for economic forces outside of their control. The film was directed by Academy Award nominee Paul Greengrass, from a screenplay by Billy Ray, based on the book A Captain's Duty, Somali Pirates, Navy SEALs, and Dangerous Days at Sea, by Richard Phillips with Stephen Talty. The film was produced by Scott Rudin, Dana Brunetti, and Michael DeLuca. Rated PG-13, 2 hours and 14 minutes. People in the cast. Catherine Keener, Michael Chernus, Corey Johnson, Max Martini. This is quite a list here.
Of nobody we know.
Yes, Muhammad Ali. I don't think that's the Muhammad Ali. Is that the Muhammad Ali?
Probably not.
I would think not.
So just Tom Hanks and Catherine Keener are the only names I know.
Mark Anwar.
I don't know if I know him.
That is a list of people. Wow. That is one of the biggest lists I've ever seen.
A lot of pirates, man. A lot of pirates.
A lot of Navy SEALs.
Yeah, that too.
Okay. So Brittany was asking me what's coming out this weekend, and I said, I know Captain Phillips is coming out. She said, what's that? I said, you know, it's about that ship that was taken over by Somali pirates a few years back. And she said, pirates? Those aren't real. And I was like, okay, wow. Yes, pirates, they're real. So, well, there you go.
The Johnny Depp pirates aren't real.
Yeah, even what? They are real to some extent. Just not quite so, like that.
There's some in Somalia and there's some in Pittsburgh.
Yes. And there are so many on the internet.
Pirates. And there was a couple at Sausage Fest.
There were quite a few at Sausage Fest. There was a little bit of everything at Sausage Fest, though.
Indeed there was.
All right, next movie.
Okay. Let's transition over to Machete Kills. Hopefully I'm saying right. Art, just let me say there's going to be a lot of Latino names that I'm going to butcher. Much like I would if I had a machete in my hand. Okay. Machete Kills is 43% on the tomato meter. Out of 21 reviews, 9 fresh, 12 rotten. 90% of the 19,526 people want to see it. And here's the description. In Machete Kills, Danny Trejo returns as ex-Federale agent Machete, who is recruited by the President of the United States for a mission which would be impossible for any mortal man. He must take down a madman, revolutionary, and an eccentric billionaire arms dealer who has hatched a plan to spread war and anarchy across the planet. Rated R, 1 hour and 46 minutes. Directed by Robert Rodriguez, who I believe directed the original Machete. Also starring Sofia Vergara, Michelle Rodriguez, Amber Heard, Lady Gaga, Carlos Estevez, recognized as Charlie Sheen, Antonio Banderas, Jessica Alba, and then Vanessa Hudgens, Cuba Gooding Jr. as El Camaleon 2, William Sadler, Mel Gibson, and I think it stops there on people that we know.
Tom Savini.
So, I didn't see the first one.
Me neither.
This looks a little too cheesy for me.
Definitely.
But still, I bet it's funny. I don't think I'll see it at the theater, but...
But usually I'll see Danny Trejo. So, yeah, maybe I'll watch the original.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe those are the two movies that come out in wide release.
Alrighty then. Okay, on to movie pickings is. And since we're starting a new season, we are going alphabetical for tonight.
Okay.
Because there is no... Yeah. So, Art, you get to go first.
Not a problem. Now, are we... I should have asked this beforehand, but okay. Are we moving to quarterly? We had talked about doing that. We talked it over with Tony Mast on the conference call we did a while back, and we talked about implementing that after Archon.
I love that you think I remember things. You're so cute. Okay. We're going to do this quarterly?
So what you're asking is when the season's going to cut off, right? Because
3 months. Every 3 months.
Yeah, because we have... Yeah.
before.
Okay, that works, because right now there are like three mismatched sections.
Right.
We can do that.
Okay. So the new game will be running for 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Now, since the other one ends at Sausage Fest, we've already used the first weekend of October, so will this quarter just be 1 weekend shy so that there's no odd confusion and just have it be calendar quarters?
That's fine.
Okay.
Aces. Okay, Art, hit us up, baby.
All right. Right down to it. All right. I've seen, I think, all of one trailer for Captain Phillips, and I do not know that it's going to get this. Gravity is getting so much buzz. I mean, that thing blew up by any comparison to what I thought it would do. So I'm going to keep Gravity in the number one spot. I'm going to put Captain Phillips in the number two spot. I'm going to go with Machete Kills in the number three spot, Cloudy 2 in the number four spot, and Runner Runner in the number five spot. And for Art's house pick, I'm going with Zero Charisma.
Okay. Lena.
Now, let's make sure don't mess this up. Hello?
I'm next. Sorry.
Yes, you're next. Gravity, Captain Phillips, Machete Kills, Cloudy 2, Runner Runner.
Yep.
Okay. Mr. JB, hit us up.
I'm mostly dittoing Art. So
great. You're not even drunk.
Captain Phillips at 2. They've kind of done an alternate marketing strategy, because I know a couple people that have been going to the LA Dodgers playoff games, and that trailer has been, they play it like four times in between innings during a game.
Oh God.
So not only are they is there, you know, the TV campaign, but not that I think that's going to be enough to push it over number one. But they've been going for, I guess, different demos than just what you'd see on television. So anyways, Gravity at number one, Captain Phillips at number two, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs at three. I'm going to go with the Danny Trejo vehicle, Machete Kills, at four. And then I'm going to put Runner Runner at five, reluctantly, because it might just disappear. I am also going to go with Zero Charisma, just because it is a Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Yeah.
And it is, Nerdist Industries is doing all they can to get behind this movie. Art, did you watch the trailer?
I have not seen the trailer yet, no.
It's kind of a darker Dungeons & Dragons movie. Because of, I don't know, I don't want to say mental illness, but, you know, just the insanity of some people. And
so, modern day Mazes and Monsters.
Yeah. Was Mazes and Monsters the one that Hanks was in way back? Yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw that, but so it's I want to see it. It looks like it's going to be an interesting movie.
Well, it looks like it's available for Watch It Now on Amazon.
Yes, that's it's going to be in the, I don't even know where it's going to be playing and how many theaters it's going to be in. It's probably not going to be many.
Right.
But yeah, VOD started on Tuesday.
Okay.
And then Friday, you know, and then Zero Gravity will be out on Friday. I'm sorry, Zero Charisma. Before I slip there. All right, Lena, wrap us up.
This is going to be quick and dirty. That's what I said. I'm actually going to ditto Jeff. Although, I came so close to dittoing Art. Cloudy 2, I'm like, because it's the third week, I don't know what to do, but I just don't think Machete Kills is going to have quite enough.
Fine. I want to change my picks.
No, I was just going to say Art just won the week. I'm telling you right now.
No, I'm changing my picks. I'm going to ditto BD. No.
Yeah. Speaking of Runner Runner, the blind ditto.
No. I'm leaving my picks alone. If you're going to ditto somebody out of me and Jeff, I'm going to say go with Jeff. So that's fine.
As much as, you know, I love me some Art. Indeed I do. Machete Kills kind of just has me wigged out a bit.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, right down to the Art's house pick. It's going to take me a while to remember.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of the Arts House pick, new scoring for that.
Oh, yes.
So it will now be, it'll be whoever gets the movie with the highest gross will get just 1 point on their little tally board. And that is it. So okay. It'll be easy to get back in the game. So if you don't have the top number, you don't get any points at all. So it's just it's a little 1 point pick for whoever and everybody. If everybody picks the same movie, they all get 1 point if it's the highest movie. That was the highest out of all movies chosen. There, did
and
I
we, yeah, we just think
communicate that,
that? Yes, absolutely. And I think it definitely makes it a much more fair game.
Right.
Because one movie can just set you up for the entire season.
Right.
He's good.
So, yeah, it's more of a zero-sum game.
All right, then.
One word, we are changing the title from the Backseat Box Office Art House picks to Arts House, just because we like the sound of that better. In case you're wondering why we're saying Arts House now.
So we're dropping Backseat. It's just going to be Arts House.
Arts House.
Yes.
Arts House. Right. That's it.
We're in Arts House now.
Yes.
I'm always in Arts House.
Okay.
All right. Did anybody see anything good?
Haven't seen a thing.
Oh.
Didn't. Oh, you know, Sausage Fest. It's like a week to get back to normal.
All right. Well, there was homework.
There was homework.
There was homework. Did you do your homework, young lady?
Clearly, no. What was that? If I'm going to sit here going, homework? What was the homework?
Did the dog eat your homework?
Something.
The new Hobbit trailer? You were supposed to watch the new Hobbit trailer.
Ah, crap sticks! Hold on, let me write that down.
Well, it's too late now, because me and Jeff are going to talk about it.
Well, go ahead and talk about it, but I still need to see it. Dang. Yeah.
Impressions.
The dog drank my homework and threw it up.
Oh, okay.
No, the dog passed you a drink, and you got so drunk, you never did your homework.
Oh, my God. There was this one drink that someone gave me. Oh, it was so good. Someone told me... What?
Well, let's get through this part.
Okay. I'm distracted like a dog in a shiny chain.
How about you, Jeff? Did you see anything?
I rewatched Iron Man 3.
Ah, okay.
You know, I was disappointed when I walked out of the theater from that when I went to go see Iron Man 3, and I think I've talked about that at a previous show, but I've kind of become less disappointed because I've heard some discussions on the choices that were made with the Mandarin. And, you know, I'm coming more to the realization that they were good choices. And the Iron Man 3 that I wanted to see would never happen. So that the Mandarin was the big bad.
Okay. Well, I see. I never had a problem with what they did with the Mandarin. I thought it was a really interesting use of a character. And if you want to see him fight the Mandarin, there was already a really well done cartoon. They did about 5 years back, maybe, in that whole Marvel line that they're doing. I actually own it, and it's really good, and it's got your Mandarin, and go watch that.
Mm.
I didn't think it was definitely not the best of the bunch, but I definitely liked it. I mean, I didn't have big problems with it like a lot of people, I think, did.
No, one of the reasons I bought the Blu-ray was I wanted to see the short titled Agent Carter, which, if you remember from Captain America, Peggy Carter, the woman that, mm-hmm. you know, Cap was talking to before he took the plane down. Spoiler.
Yep.
So basically she's working for SHIELD now. Or actually for the government, because SHIELD didn't exist back then. So it's kind of a 7 or 8 minute film showing her going on, you know, going on a mission, and basically sets up where she's going to be for the for that timeline as far as the movies are concerned. So it was an interesting watch. You should probably check it out if you get a chance to see it.
Okay, I will look into that.
Okay.
Also has Bradley Whitford. Whitford is in it.
Yeah.
So he's a funny guy. Okay, Art, did you watch anything?
I only watched, I only watched TV. I watched the next episode of Sleepy Hollow. I watched the next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I didn't see any movies or any Lifetime movies.
Now, let me ask you something about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though. What did you think of the second episode?
The second episode, I like the second episode. I thought it did a good job of showing some the characters kind of starting to meld together as a team, you know, being under that, you know, extra kind of external pressure from an outside force, kind of, you know, making them bond and them, you know, learning to work together. I thought it was pretty good.
My coworker said he's out on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because he fell asleep during the second episode. I said, okay. See, you're crazy. I enjoyed it. I kind of had a mild deja vu with A-Team. Something about being in South America and there being the gun battle where you know, the one guy gets grazed, but that's about it.
That's about it. No one really gets shot. Tons
of ammo get expelled. But yeah.
You know, statistically, that's very true. Somebody did, if you read, a lot of Palladium books, Kevin Tambita did some study on the amount of bullets fired, in the Vietnam War and the actual number of people shot because of fighting in that, you know, how much fighting was done at dense foliage and how many rounds they just threw into the jungle hoping to hit something and not actually hitting anything. You know, that the jungle is just so dense. A lot of that really does happen. There are huge firefights where just ammo's flying everywhere and no one's actually getting hit. You know, it's a lot of retreating actions. So there is some, you know, truth to that.
Okay.
In that type of environment. But neither here nor there. Yes, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So, they had another episode where they kind of tied back to the Tesseract.
Right.
That thing that they found.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I haven't yet watched this week's episode.
But Samuel Jackson's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
It's a shame that, you know, he's relegated the cameos, but yes. All right, so did we cover that Lena didn't watch anything?
Yeah. We covered that Lena didn't watch anything.
Lena's barely even watched TV this week.
And then sausage flying about the room at Sausage Fest.
There were sausages flying about the room, yeah.
So much of sausage and boob cookies and boob chocolates, which are very delicious.
Those cookies were amazing and adorable.
The ones that were on the Ritz crackers, those...
I didn't even see those.
Oh, they had peanut butter and chocolate mint. And I actually, all night long, kind of took a few aside and put aside a plate and brought some home.
Those were on a Ritz cracker?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that a Ritz cracker on the bottom?
That was not a Ritz cracker. That was something.
What was it? Oh, okay.
It was a cookie. Yeah, it wasn't a Ritz cracker. No, yeah, I had those.
Okay. And then there were the sugar cookies, like the big round boob cookies, and then the ones with the like bikini top boob cookies. Those are sugar cookies.
Yeah. I'm not a big sugar cookie fan. And with all the other chocolate and peanut butter lying around,
You just got to make a choice.
No, you just eat everything. That's my choice.
Eat everything, yeah.
Just eat a little bit of everything and, you know, much of sausage. And then Wei, bless her heart, I love that girl so much. Towards the end of the night, she was walking around with a sub, just making us take bites of it.
I had a bite of that sub.
Yeah, she's like, eat some. Like, you're just so cute. I want to take you home in my pocket. I love you.
There was a point where somebody was getting a little unruly out in the hallway over the whole ID thing.
Oh.
And she came out and she got in the middle of it. What's that?
You don't mess with her.
No, yeah. But she makes the comment, and she goes, no, because you know why? Because I am the droid you're looking for.
Yes.
And that stopped all conversation. Just so you know, Jeff, she is this very attractive Asian woman in a skin-tight R2-D2 dress.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, that she brought a halt to the conversation with that statement.
She is the best. Like, she almost wasn't... She wasn't going to come. And I was like... It is just not going to be the same if Wei's not there. The day before Archon, she posted on her Facebook page that she was not going to one particular con and was going to Archon instead. And I was like, yeah.
Where is she from?
She is... I know she's moving. I don't know if she's in Kansas City. Oh, actually, you know what? I can tell you in a second. Somewhere. I know she's in Missouri, but it's like the other side of Missouri.
Oh, okay.
But she was I know she was in the process of moving, but yep, Kansas City, Missouri. Damn, I'm good. It's all that stalker training I've had.
There you go.
Or all those Lifetime movies you've been exposed to.
That's right. See when I know Art says he watches them, I don't say anything, but yeah, I've been watching them too. Studying, figuring everything out.
Yeah, it's in women's genetic code to watch those things.
Good God.
All right. And I was going to say, are there any other Archon things you want to share, talk about?
I'm trying to think. You know what, like, one of the things that made me the happiest, because I'm, you know, as far as all the games and everything... I like playing. There was like, what, 30 board games, I think, that different people were bringing for Sausage Fest for us to play in the downtimes. I like playing them. That's what?
It's only a drop in Art's closet.
I know. I actually have a list of what I played. I kept writing them down because I'm like, I'm never going to remember this. Let's see. I played... Lords of Waterdeep, kind of confusing, but I got through it. Revolution, not even sure if I remember that one. Love Letter, which was... Oh, Revolution we played in the other room. Love Letter, which was this like quick little card game.
16 cards. It is a micro game. It's like...
It's fun! It's
Japanese or Korean. It's somewhere over there somebody found it and imported it, and yeah, it's blowing up like crazy.
Jonathan brought that, and then at one point, me, Melina, Jonathan, and Andrew were playing. And it's funny because it's this, you know, what, 16 cards, this little tiny game. The curse words that come from this game is just amazing. It's like curse words that you would kind of think you might see, like, in a men's locker room or in a bar fight. We're playing games with cards with princesses and countesses on them. Cursing like sailors. That was fun. But the one thing that made me the happiest, we played the Resistance. And we played this last year. And I screwed up many, many rounds. Many, many rounds did I screw up. And have you guys played the Resistance?
No.
It is,
I'm told, it's like Werewolf.
Yes.
You get a card. Yeah, you get a card, and you're either a member of the Resistance or you're a spy. And I hate being a spy because I am not. I just can't pick up whatever the clues I'm supposed to pick up because everyone closes their eyes, and then only the spies open their eyes, so we see who we are, and we can figure out how to take the game down. I never get anything right. So when we were playing that last round, we played. I was a spy. And I was so pleased with myself. I picked up every clue. Nobody knew I was a spy. And I will say Tony did a fantastic job of shielding me. He deflected everything away from me. And, I mean, I didn't win the game, but I was just happy that I didn't screw up the game. I played it correctly. And that made me very happy. And it was just a lot of fun. You know, it's funny. I don't think, and I don't know if anything happened while I was taking a nap or anything, but... I never saw Cards Against Humanity come out at all. I know it was there.
What?
I don't recall. Yeah, again, like I at one point on Friday, I took a 1-hour nap, because I was dead on my feet. Took a 1 hour nap. I'm thinking they didn't play because when I went down and I found the guys, they were playing, I forget what they were playing, but it was something that we played. Like when they finished, then we switched and played The Resistance. That might have been Saturday, but 6 1/2 does the other. Like that was the only time that I was not with them was that 1 hour nap. But I can't imagine they would have only played Cards of Humanity for 1 hour and then jumped on another game. So, no. But there was just so much to play and so much to do. And that's it. It was a blast. I got to finally meet Art face-to-face, which was lovely. He is a tall man. I did not think you were as tall as you are. How tall are you?
Considering I'm Hispanic, right? These people are short.
Really? I'm Italian. My father was 5'6". Come on. I'm taller than my father.
I'm about 6 feet tall.
Okay. He's tall.
Did you see that one black guy who came in, though, who looked like he was 7 feet tall?
Can I tell you, I was a little afraid. It was like Manute Bol tall, and my brain could not comprehend this.
He was 7'6".
Close enough.
A foot.
And like really, really, really skinny.
Yeah,
that was crazy. I was like, oh my goodness. And people were all like, how tall are you? He's like, give me a dollar, I'll tell you. He was working it.